1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Attacks are intensifying on day 7 of the Israel-Iran conflict. The BBC's Hugo Bechega.
We've had reaction from the Israeli authorities accusing Iran of deliberately targeting a hospital. We don't know what the target here could have been.
Israel says at least 40 people were injured. Correspondent Ed O'Keefe is at the White House.
CBS News has learned the president approved unspecified attack plans as an option, but is holding off in case Iran agrees to abandon its nuclear program.
A heat dome is spreading brutal temperatures across the country a day before summer officially begins. CBS's Andres Gutierrez is in Las Vegas.
Today, it will once again perhaps reach up to 110 degrees, and this is going to be keeping paramedics on guard.
Temperatures are expected to climb into the 90s for the first time this year in New York City and Boston. That's about 20 degrees above normal. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Wire fraud and money laundering, right out of Wausau. Stanley Povall is alleged to have stolen more than $15 million from investors. Timothy O'Shea, a United States attorney for the Western District of Wisconsin, announced the unsealing of a criminal complaint charging the 63-year-old man from Wausau. Povall was arrested on Saturday and made his initial appearance in federal court on Monday. He's detained and pending further proceedings. Here's what happened. 6 years ago, he started soliciting investors to purchase promissory notes from him with supposed guaranteed rates of return. He falsely told them that he was a wealthy businessman. Since May of 2019 until March of this year, he received more than $15 million from at least 120 different investors. The criminal complaint also alleges that Povall did not actually invest the majority of the money. Instead, he used the money to live an extravagant lifestyle, buying over 300 snowmobiles. And to keep the fraud scheme going, Povall also used new investor money to make lulling payments to previous investors to make it appear as though those investors were earning investment returns. An investigation by the IRS, criminal investigation, and the Federal Bureau of Investigation resulted in the charges. The prosecution of the case is being handled by Assistant U.S. Attorney Aaron Wegner. Now, a charge is merely an accusation, and a person named as a defendant in a criminal complaint or indictment is presumed innocent unless and until proven guilty. And with the heat cranking up, especially as we go into the weekend, heat indices will feel like nearly 100 degrees. Now is the time to start to hydrate. Make sure you stay cool, because heat-related illnesses can sneak up on you fast. If you start to get dizzy, slurred speech, stop sweating, seeing stars, the next thing is you could throw up, black out, or wind up in the ER. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
It's play ball today at Wrigley. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and Chicago Cubs playing today after being rained out last night. The game has now been rescheduled to create a doubleheader between the two teams August 18th. NFL former Packers place kicker Anders Carlson has been released by the New York Jets. Carlson, drafted in the sixth round in 2023 by the Packers, has spent time with the 49ers and now the Jets. Former Packers defensive back and special teams guy Robert Rochelle has signed with the Dallas Cowboys. NBA, the Pacers host the Thunder tonight in Indianapolis. Tyrese Halliburton doing everything he can to get back on the court despite a strained right calf muscle.
I mean, I think just around-the-clock stuff as much as I can. Massage, needles, hyperbaric, H-wave. I mean, just a bunch of different things to try to get it to feel as comfortable as you can going into it. The right tape and stuff. I'm sure there's a bunch of medical professionals who better answer, but just doing everything that I'm told, trying to do everything I can.
That's the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A mix of sun and clouds today and warm with highs in the lower 80s. An isolated shower or storm possible late in the afternoon. That chance for a shower or thunderstorm continues into the nighttime. It'll be mild with lows in the low to mid 60s. Right now, it's 60 degrees.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Our old friend Dan Schaefer, political editor of Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area, will be here to help us recombobulate. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's 8:06. Nice to have you back here up north on this Thursday morning, June 19th, 2025. Appreciate your company as we head into our third hour here on this Thursday. Making our way ever closer to the weekend. We'll talk to Chad Holmes coming up in just a little bit, as well as meteorologist Brittany Merlot, not just about the forecast, but she's also got a story up on the Civic Media site about smallmouth bass season. So we'll get into that as well. Parker Olson is standing by in Madison Studio A2, where I'm reminded that there was a question that came in the comment sections on Facebook earlier that I did not address with you from Greg in Waukesha. How much water does Parker drink in a day?
It really varies. Probably about a bottle and a half of this a day. I don't know.
What is that? Is that a 16-ounce bottle there?
My guess would be 16. I don't
22?
Know.
I can probably, never really tell.
Okay. Probably 16. I don't know.
Okay. And you're still claiming it's mostly water.
I'm claiming that it is entirely water while I'm on the clock.
That's a good story, and you just stick to that.
Thank you, sir.
Folks who missed it earlier, Roger and Stevens Point got up on Facebook and said that WIAA state baseball wraps up today with four championships, and he says best of luck to the Pacelli Cardinals. Chad, do you happen to have in front of you who all is in the championships today?
I do not.
See what happens when they spring stuff on you when you're live on air? I apologize for that. I just figured if anybody did, it was going to be you, so...
Well, unfortunately, none of my teams are involved in
that's
it.
That's true. So see, you're like, I'm off the clock. This ain't water in this water bottle.
I would throw it right on the back of my hand otherwise.
It reminds me, I'm using today's coffee mug is from Drink Wisconsinably. And, of course, on the mug it says, shh, this isn't coffee.
I will tell you, Division I Badger takes on Muskego. Division II Seymour against New Berlin Eisenhower. Kewanee against Kenosha St. Joe's in Division 3, and then, as mentioned, Pacelli against Johnson Creek in Division 4.
There you go. See? The man knows how to get the info. If it's sports, he's going to get it for you for Wisconsin High School Sports. If it's weather, you're going to get it from meteorologist Brittany Merlot. We're not just heading toward the weekend. We're heading toward the oven.
Yes, we are.
It's just another way to put it. It is going to be sauna-like, as you put it.
Yes, it is steamy. We're going to be cooking out there. Okay. Temperatures today, not too bad. 55 to about 68 degrees this morning. We've got a little bit of light rain rolling by Rice Lake. Otherwise, a lot of sunshine out there and a few clouds mixed in too. Go figure, of course. We've still got this front sitting over the state, so we do have chances for scattered showers and storms still, especially north on occasion, very stray, very light, very brief. But otherwise, tonight, they spark up again. After highs today reach the upper 70s to low 80s, dew points are actually on the comfortable side, a little sticky still, but they're in the 50s. So as we go through the weekend, they're going to go from the 50s to the 70s, and not just low 70s, mid to upper 70 degree dew points. And if you don't know what that means, when you hit a 70 degree dew point, that means it's pretty oppressive. It is hard to evaporate the sweat off of your skin. You feel just kind of claustrophobic, right? The air is heavy around you. That's because it's saturated with moisture. So it's harder to evaporate the sweat off your skin and keep you cool. So you can get hot so, so fast and easy. So it's a good time to hydrate now. I've got my Flash IV. That's what I'm doing right now. Anything you can do to hydrate.
You should put this up on YouTube. I try to drink at least one 40-ounce bottle of water a day.
Whoa. That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. The more you can, the better. And don't do it all at once, too. Slowly drink throughout the day, right? It helps saturate, you know, into your system a little bit easier. But the dew points in the mid-70s, temperatures in the 90s, it is going to be feeling like with the heat index, triple digits, about 100 to 105 degrees. So pay attention to yourself, okay? If you start to sweat a lot and then all of a sudden you stop, or if you start to get confused or dizzy or lightheaded or start to see stars, you need to get in the AC, you need to get inside, stay cool, rest, hydrate, all of those things.
All right, Brittany, thank you so much for the update. And, you know, I know you'll find ways to keep cool. Chad, we were talking about fairs and festivals starting up this weekend, like Summerfest and others. Anything on your near radar for your neck of the woods?
Well, the big one here is the Wisconsin Valley Fair, which is not till the end of July, early August. So that's always the big one. And there's usually some activities going on around the 4th of July as well. But we're not quite to that spot of the summer here, at least in the Wausau area.
No, that's all right. And Brittany had mentioned earlier that you've got an article at the Civic Media site over in the news section about smallmouth bass season starting up. That would be, is it Sunday, June 21st?
Saturday.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Today's Saturday. Thursday. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, all up north, you finally can. So pretty much Douglas, Sawyer, Price, Lincoln, Langley, Door Counties, and north, you can go ahead and go fishing. So the Wisconsin-Minnesota boundary waters, the tributaries to Lake Michigan, Lake Superior, all of those awesome places you can catch and release smallmouth bass starting Saturday through March.
All right. Again, more details on the Civic Media site. Thank you, Brittany. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. So Chad is, you can find him over at 98.9 WXCO out of Wausau, following stories up there. What are you working on this week? What are you monitoring?
One that I'm going to be speaking of in our next segment right after this involves Mayor Doug Dinney. We had recently saw an editorial from the editor of the Wausau Pilot and Review endorsing a city manager form of government. And yesterday there was a letter to the editor in the Pilot from Mayor Doug Dinney.
You don't say.
Endorsing that as well. And a few of the interesting aspects of this letter to the editor. I think an argument could be made. I think we touched on it previously that in the sense that, at least I believe that the default should always be where the voters in our form of government decide who's going to be the leaders. I think there can be an argument made that having somebody of a professional nature could work, but it's not a panacea for those who think it is. But a few of the notes in terms of what Dinney said in this note, and one of the ones that this, again, if this is truly about just specifically in terms of making a better government, number one, he ran on the idea that he was going to come in and just be the guy that was at the till. We had too much Katie Rosenberg being out there and trying to be a moral voice in our community. We can't have that. We just need somebody who's going to punch in every day and do the job. Well, it hasn't exactly been that way. But even in this note, he talks about, I believed that with enough effort, we could overcome dysfunction and personality-driven politics. Another shot right there at the former mayor. And my first thought is, if there's nothing else you can say about Donald Trump, isn't it about personality-based politics, driven politics?
Yes.
I mean, the idea that the mayor of a community or the governor of a state or the president of the United States is not in some way a moral force or a person whose personality does drive a lot of the conversation, and it should, in a good way, I find to be a bit silly. But also the whole idea of Doug Dinney comes in and he thought that he was going to be able to come in here and fix all the things that he saw that were wrong, and he's finding that he can't do it. So doggone it, if I can't do it, let's bring in a city manager. I kind of just shake my head at that. And I guess the final point before I allow you to maybe give a thought or two, because I'd be very interested in that as well. This is the continuation of what we've seen since 1980. And Ronald Reagan, and the whole idea from the right in this country that government doesn't work. They come in, they're inept, and then they raise their hand and say, well, government doesn't work. Well, I just think that the mayor needs to look in the mirror a little bit here on why it hasn't worked in Wausau for the past year.
I guess I couldn't agree more, because I can't envision a professional hired city manager taking it upon himself to commandeer an absentee ballot drop box and say, I don't think this should be here, so I'm going to move it. But when you are elected mayor, you know, it gives you a pretty high opinion of yourself for some people. And they feel like, much like a Donald Trump, I'm the boss. I can do whatever I want. And what really bothered Trump in his first term was being told, no, as president, you can't do whatever you want. But he was being told that by other Republicans with respect for the rule of law and norms and the Constitution. And Trump this time around just didn't surround himself with those folks, and through sheer force of will is getting things done until courts tell him that he can't. And then he's got to decide whether to ignore the courts or not. You've got Robin Voss, who's been able to do this thanks to gerrymandered maps. And I think maybe the mayor there is wishing he had some of these accessories or accomplices or whatever. But when it's just you on your own, telling you, no, you can't do those things that you thought you could do, I suppose it's easier to just blame the system.
And the whole thing about it is exactly right. Because again, he's also mentioned in this letter to the editor, I have come to realize that it's not just a matter of effort or goodwill. Well, I've seen a lot of effort and goodwill from the mayor's office in the last year, right? Mm-hmm. It's about structure. So the whole idea is, if I can't make this work, then nobody can make this work. I mean, come on. I mean, he's made, I think the first step for the mayor, if he wants to become a successful chief executive of this community, is to realize his own errors. It's not all structure. There have been self-inflicted wounds from him, and it's not, and it feels like this almost has come up as a godsend for him. Oh, it's not my fault that things are dysfunctional here in this community. It's the structure.
Well, again, what do you never hear from Robin Voss or Donald Trump? You never hear contrition. You never hear accountability, where they go, I was wrong about this. I was mistaken about this. It's, I'm right no matter what. Even if I know I'm wrong, I'm going to keep repeating it over and over and blame anybody else. And unfortunately, we've turned compromise into a dirty word in this country, and we've turned contrition into a dirty word in this country. And, you know, we are going to need leaders who can do those things without being painted as weak. And that's a very tall order, but I think that's what we're going to have here. So
no, I agree with that 100%. But right. I mean, obviously this conversation is now really going to, I think, ramp up a little bit. We had the initial.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Media. By the way, let me ask you the real fact. I don't really have a minute and a half. What do you think of this media driven dialogue that we see here? And I'm going to say it right out front. I've been hearing a lot on this airwaves since Dan Schaefer put out his article on Tony Evers. Is this a good thing in your mind?
What, talking about it?
No, the whole idea that, well, all of a sudden it's become a huge story because one journalist has put out an opinion piece, and now everybody's talking about it. And I just feel like sometimes this train, it's a lot of momentum in ways that maybe is not exactly the right way to go.
I actually give Dan Schaefer credit for this, in that the conversation was going to be had at some point. It might have started with an Evers announcement, but at some point it was going to happen anyway. And Dan thought, well, let's kick this off. You know, none of the rank and file Democrats want to kick this off because they don't want to look disloyal by simply bringing up this as a topic of conversation. Dan Schaefer saw what was happening with the national Democrats and said, well, I'll get it started. And he's certainly gotten some blowback, but he's gotten other people saying, well, at least we're talking about it, and we will continue to. And Chad Holmes will follow it at 98.9 WXCO as well. So more to come on that. He's got a local update coming up next for folks in the Wausau market. Have a great day and a good weekend there, Chad.
Thank you, Pat.
All right. We'll talk to you again next week. We talk to him on Tuesdays and Thursdays here in the 8 o'clock hour on these mornings powered by Up North News. A local update's next for some of you. You'll be hanging here. I'll be talking to Sean O'Malley about Trump and the crypto bros right after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the university system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators get a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And good morning once again, everyone. It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO. Online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Beautiful start here in north central Wisconsin at our downtown studios at the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street in downtown Wausau. Plenty of sunshine, temperature already warming up, 65 degrees. It'll be a warm one here today. Highs in the lower 80s. Then, of course, we will have a chance of some rain as we get into the evening and tomorrow. And then really hot on the weekend. 92 on Saturday, 93 on Sunday.
Oh, my goodness.
So, again, it's going to be true summer weather. You hear the voice of Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
I want to talk a little bit more about this letter to the editor that the mayor of Wausau has sent to the Wausau Pilot and Review. Just talked about it with Pat Kreitlow. But recently, Shireen Seawert of the Pilot had put out an article recommending that the city go to a city manager form of government. And folks here in this community remember in the past decade or so, there was actually a vote on this. And the folks voted to keep the mayor council form of government. But now Shireen Seawert, seeing a lot of the dysfunction that we are currently witnessing in City Hall in the city of Wausau, right, came out with a editorial that said that she would believe that Wausau will be better served with a city manager. And responding to that, the mayor of Wausau, Doug Dinney, has sent in a note and saying that he agrees that he has found that despite his hard work and despite his goodwill, that he's just not been able to fix all the dysfunction that's going on. And it's not about mistakes he has made. It's about structure. That's what he says. It's let me read one of the paragraphs early on. And I think folks, and again, they can check it out, the entire letter that the mayor had sent to WASA Pilot and Review at the website, wasapilotandreview.com. But Mayor Denny said, "When I took office, I truly believe through hard work, collaboration, and yes, sheer force of will, we could change the tone and direction of local government. I believe that with enough effort, we could overcome dysfunction and personality-driven politics. But I have come to realize that it's not just a matter of effort or goodwill. It's about structure. And our current structure is holding us back." Well, I don't believe it's the structure. And the idea that under the previous administration of Mayor Katie Rosenberg that it was a complete dysfunctional government is completely wrong. What I think the actual part of that paragraph that jumped out to me, and that the whole point of what the right has tried to accomplish in WASA, first by defeating Mayor Rosenberg and now putting in somebody more of their political persuasion in Doug Denny, is the idea of personality-driven politics. And that's what they say. And it's, and I look at it completely differently. I don't look at it as personality-driven politics. I look at it as a mayor trying to be a positive force within a community. And that's what Katie Rosenberg did during her term in office.
She did a good job.
And this also goes back beyond the mayoral idea here. It goes back to the idea of a community for all, a community that stands for everybody, not just for the chosen few. And we saw when the Community for All got pushed right back by some members of our community, basically saying, no, we don't want to be known as a community for all. I mean, that said it all right there. Yes, and it goes, continues, I think, through the rest of Mayor Rosenberg's administration, to the election of last year, and now to the Doug Denny administration. But the idea that all of this is structure and has nothing to do with the actions of Mayor Denny since he took office last spring is completely blind to the facts.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that there is not an argument that could be made that maybe a city manager could be helpful in some way. I don't know. I think obviously we're going to go into this discussion. I think after the editorial from Shireen Seward and now the response from Mayor Denny, that this discussion will continue. But I hope that this discussion is a wide net in terms of everything that could be right and also everything that could be wrong with a city manager form of government.
I
tend to believe that within our system of government that the voters have a responsibility as well. That the idea that this is almost the idea of moving to a manager form of government, in a sense, is to protect the voters from themselves, in a sense. That if the voters are able to look at the candidates and look at the strengths and the weaknesses of the candidates and then hold our office holders to account, then our system should be able to work. But if you don't believe that the voters are capable of that, then you bring in non-elected folks. And there is a lot of evidence out there that in some cases a city manager can work, but there's also a lot of evidence that it can be very difficult because the good ones tend to be gobbled up. That if you find somebody that's really good, then maybe somebody else in a bigger community who has a greater package of benefits or compensation would be able to come in and make them an offer that they can move on. And then you have to find somebody. And we have seen instances, and not just around the country, but here in Wisconsin and even in central Wisconsin, where you have a manager is not up to the job, or a manager is up to the job but doesn't get along with council. So, again, it's not a case where the mayor's having problems with the council. It could just as easily be a manager could have problems with the council as well. So, again, this, I think, is only the beginning of this conversation. But, again, I would encourage you to check out WassauPilotReview.com to find out more about what Mayor Doug Denny wrote in his letter to the editor endorsing the editorial from Shireen Seward. Coming up at the end of the program, we'll have another edition of Number for the Day quiz.
Yes.
And our topic will be Pokemon.
Pokemon.
So we'll talk about that in our final moments of the show. But coming up next, it's more of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow right after an information update here on 98.9 WXCO. You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. A bipartisan group of state lawmakers are proposing legislation that would allow teachers to claim tax deductions for classroom materials they purchase. Lisa Hale explains.
Under the proposed bill, teachers would be allowed to claim up to $300 of state income tax deductions for eligible expenses, including classroom materials and professional development courses. The bill was co-authored by Republican State Representative David Armstrong, and Democratic leaders say it's the least they can do for now, but that the state should be doing more to fund schools.
And an international maker of robots, motion control, and automation products is bringing its North American headquarters to Wisconsin. Stuart J. Waddles has the details.
Governor Tony Evers joined officials with Yaskawa America, Inc. to announce a $180 million expansion in Franklin. They'll be consolidating all of their operations into a new 800,000-square-foot campus. The project is said to create hundreds of jobs and boost Wisconsin's advanced manufacturing sector.
And Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has announced the state plans to go forward with a $7.4 billion settlement with Purdue Pharma, stemming from a multi-state lawsuit, which argued the company aggressively marketed opioid products for decades, leading to a significant opioid crisis. If approved by all parties, the $7.4 billion settlement would be spread out over 15 years, and Purdue Pharma would no longer be able to sell opioids in the country. Wisconsin could receive over $80 million over that 15 years for its share of the settlement. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Bruce Springsteen biopic Deliver Me From Nowhere inches ever closer to being released. Jeremy Allen White plays the boss and has gotten high praise after sneak peeks. The cast also includes Jeremy Strong, who plays John Landau, Springsteen's longtime manager, and Stephen Graham as Bruce's father, Doug. According to Variety, the trailer is now available to view on YouTube. Deliver Me From Nowhere tells the story of the time in the boss's career when he took a break from touring and made the Nebraska album. The film hits theaters October 24th. Ted Danson says when he gave advice or predicted things while he was on Cheers, he was often completely wrong. One of his big miscues was predicting that Shelley Long was not at all right for the role of Diane Chambers. Danson told the story to Andy Richter during an episode of the Where Everybody Knows Your Name podcast that he does with Woody Harrelson. Not only was she right for the role, Long went on to garner 5 Emmy nominations, and Danson, although they had differences at times, said no one could have done it better. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A mix of sun and clouds today and warm with highs in the lower 80s. An isolated shower or storm possible late in the afternoon. That chance for a shower or thunderstorm continues into the nighttime. It'll be mild with lows in the low to mid-60s. Currently, it's 62.
Matt Nair on air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
We'll talk with former Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen about his bipartisan effort with the Democracy Defense Project.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
All right, here he is now. He's fresh off the campaign trail, just back from a state convention, full of news to talk to us about, but we don't want to forget the lead story. We don't want to bury the lead in all of this. Please welcome to the program Uncle Joe, uncle of a Little Miss Polish Fest princess, Princess Everett. Congratulations, Uncle Joe.
Thank you. She is the cutest little thing in the world, as is her little sister, Micah. We were very sorry to have to miss Polish Fest because we were otherwise indisposed in the Wisconsin Dells. But hey, at least one Zepecki won something this week.
That was an amazing showing, and I'll get to it in a second, but I want to stick with the festivals just long enough to reiterate what Melissa and I talked about yesterday, that your family, much like in my case, there's as much German as there is Polish in this thing, and Polish, or German Fest rather, is not that far away, where again you can see Joe in all of his cultural best.
That's right. I will be working Friday night and Sunday afternoon at German Fest. You can come get a brat or a Hungarian that was grilled by yours truly. So we hope to see everybody at German Fest after missing my first Polish Fest probably since I moved back home to Wisconsin in 2011. Wow. So I think every year, 2012 through 2024, I made it. I got to start a new streak.
I think you had good reason, and that's where I just want to allow you to, you know, take whatever time you need to talk about the race for state chair and all of the hundreds of really awesome people who voted for you.
Yeah, it was a phenomenal experience. I have said more than once over the last couple of days that I would do this all over again in a heartbeat, even knowing how it ended. That is how much it has meant to me to build relationships around the state, to make an impact within the Democratic Party. And we know that we have. People have been extraordinarily kind in the aftermath of Sunday afternoon's vote, talking about the ways in which our message moved them and inspired them to maybe reengage, or if they had been engaged, to really step up what they we're doing for our movement. And so I have no regrets whatsoever. I have nothing but the best wishes to Devin Remiker and the WIS Dems team going forward. I really appreciated William Garcia stepping up and running as well. This was a slog, and it wasn't that it was a months and months and months and months long campaign, as these have sometimes been closer to like 6 months on the road. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it was such a truncated timetable meant that the three of us had to work our tails off and get around the state. And, you know, that was just a different kind of sprint than I've ever been a part of, but it was a terrific experience. I do think that the weekend in the Dells revealed some things that I hope will change in the future, and that certainly both Devin and I, and I just didn't see William as much in the last week before the convention, but both Devin and I were talking about ahead of the convention, barriers to entry and how we were probably asking too much of folks to be able to give up a full weekend, deal with the financial hit of attending convention, having to be there, having to plan to be there so that they could participate. We are the pro-democracy, pro-participation party, and I think it is fair to say that there are some ways in which we haven't lived up to that. And we'll see what that looks like, but I would certainly be supportive of and lend my name and support to any moves to ensure more people could participate at a much lower price point. We are the party of working women and men, and we have to make sure that we can accommodate those folks being a part of our process. Full stop, period. I know Devin heard that. Devin talked about that in the last week, and I do have hope that those kinds of changes will be coming in the future.
What other observations did you have going into this after talking to people coming out of, you know, Trump winning, but also winning the state Supreme Court race? So where do you think things go based on the conversations that you had? Are people nervous about, you know, where the governor's race might go? Are they angry about things that are happening with the state budget? What was your whole barometer on the delegates?
Well, let's take the sort of future elections question, you know, the governor, and put that on the table for just one moment. I think it is fair to say that there is an appetite for change even within the Democratic Party. And the line that we were trying to walk was we recognize that Democrats nationally have real brand issues. We have work to do. And the reality that the WSDEM's operation is the envy of 49 other Democratic parties around the country. And so it's not a straight change message. It's not a straight stay the course, right track message. It was somewhere in between. And I think when you look at how the votes shook out, certainly the conversations that I had across the weekend and across the last 2 months tell me that even the most plugged in and engaged Democrats, or, you know, the pejorative of that would be the establishment, people recognize that there are some things we have to do differently. I think that message came through loud and clear. I have every expectation that Devin and the WSDEM's team know that and heard that, because along the campaign trail, he was talking about changes we need to make as well to make sure that we are using all of the tools in the toolbox to reach people, that we are not one size fits all, that we are listening to the experts on the ground in their parts of the state. And so that rang clear to me, that as everything in the world is so chaotic and there's so much turmoil and so much of it is a choice by Donald Trump or due to the failure of congressional Republicans to stand up and check this president, that Democrats know we have work to do. We have to get better. We have to improve. And I think that came through loud and clear. To the second part of your question, you know, are folks worried about next year? Quite the contrary. I think people are really fired up at what we can accomplish next year. The fact that both chambers of the legislature are flippable, the fact that we have a terrific governor in Tony Evers, who has done a great job in really, really difficult circumstances throughout his two terms. I think people are fired up and ready to get to work. They just want to make sure that the work that they're doing is informed and strategic and smart. And that's where some of those changes around the edges come in. But I got the sense that people are fired up and ready to go. You certainly had people who have never been to conventions before stepping up to be a part of the process. And you had people who maybe had been a part and then had grown weary and frustrated who have re-engaged at this moment. That all bodes extraordinarily well for Democrats next year.
Let's turn our attention then to what's happening in the here and now inside the Capitol and the news that Republicans, led by Speaker Voss, at first Republicans were kind of downplaying this, but now Robin Voss is just right out there saying not only would they not go with Governor Evers' proposal to increase UW funding, they wouldn't go with a lesser amount, they would actually cut some of the funding for the UW. And Robin Voss is being right out there again saying the UW is too woke and too intolerant. And so this is simply for punitive purposes, which is about as petty as it gets. But if that goes through, Joe, I mean, you can comment on why you would even put that out there. But if you do, I mean, why are we even having a budget debate after this point? Governor Evers, you can't partial veto that.
No, this is copycatism at its worst. And it is one of the costs that we have to reckon with of Donald Trump being in our lives for the last 10 years. I believe it was yesterday, maybe Tuesday, that marked 10 years since Donald Trump came down the elevator and announced he was running for president. And one of the costs of his presence within the Republican Party, frankly, his takeover and destruction of what stood for conservatism, is that you now have copycats like Robin Voss, who see big bad Donald Trump taking the fight to Harvard and Yale and institutions of higher learning, and now they went one in on the action. And they see that it excites a radicalized base, a very small portion of what constitutes the Republican coalition, who get their jollies off of sticking it to the woke libs, when in reality, what the University of Wisconsin system is and what our flagship university is the crown jewel of this state. Doesn't mean that college is for everybody. It isn't. Doesn't mean that institutions of higher learning shouldn't be held to high standards. They should. But the economic impact of every dollar you spend in the UW system is one of the best bangs for the buck that Wisconsin taxpayer gets. And the notion that you would just turn that progress we've made around in the name of politics and clicks and retweets and truths, it's indefensible. And my hope is that this is a bargaining position from Speaker Voss, because he knows better. Robin Voss is not a stupid man. He knows that this is an important economic driver for our entire state.
Let's wrap up then with the unanimous ruling by the Wisconsin Supreme Court that struck down some of the 2018 lame duck laws that tried to micromanage the state attorney general's office. Never mind that it took 6.5 years. It's still a ruling that, is always going to be welcomed when it comes in. But what does it say that there was this unanimous ruling now, 6.5 years later, telling Republican legislators, you gone too far?
Well, I want to start by congratulating Attorney General Josh Call, who never wavered in this fight, despite losing on a technicality early on. One of the things we know is that checks and balances are important. Another thing we know is that change and progress never happens fast enough. There are way too many people in our state and nation's history who have been left behind, who have had to do without for years and years and years. 6.5 years is a long time, but Josh stayed the course. He got this win. He preserved an important check and balance within Wisconsin government. He should be applauded for that, and we should all take a lesson from that. That sometimes things happen that we don't agree with, that we know are wrong, and that we have to work really, really hard to change. And that change doesn't come easily. It comes very, very hard. I am certainly thinking about that a lot this week as I reflect on my last 2 months. But just because change is hard doesn't mean it's not worth fighting for. So whoever you are, wherever you are, stay engaged, stay in the fight. This stuff matters. Josh Call showed us all that this week. And we all have to try to live up to that and that so many other examples of people persisting and making change in their lives. We can do the same.
Let me close with a point of personal privilege to say that one of the best things about the past couple of months is that many more people got to meet the Joe Zepecki that I know. And that is always going to be a net positive for people in Wisconsin. So thank you for taking that on, for running the good race. But even more importantly, for the bigger picture, the inspiration that you provided to a whole lot of people that's going to carry over into the future.
Thanks, Pat. Appreciate you, friend.
A local update is coming up next for some of you, followed by Matt and Air on Air. For those of you hanging here, we will wrap up with more of this weekend's fairs and festivals around Wisconsin. And tomorrow, a new report on how the Trump tax giveaway could cost Wisconsin hospitals up to $4 billion over the next decade. Back with more on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The North Carolina legislature once again finds itself in federal court for two racial gerrymandering cases in a trial beginning June 16th. Voters and three pro-voter groups accused GOP leaders of violating the 14th and 15th Amendments to the U.S. Constitution and the 1965 Voting Rights Act. The cases were brought in late 2023 by Black North Carolina voters, the Southern Coalition for Social Justice, the state NAACP, and Common Cause. They contend that GOP legislators intentionally diluted Black voting power in the so-called Black Belt and other regions, affecting 9 state House districts, 5 state Senate districts, and 6 congressional districts. The original complaint contends, quote, "The General Assembly targeted predominantly Black voting precincts with surgical precision throughout the state in drawing and enacting the 2023 plans at the expense of traditional redistricting criteria to achieve preferred district lines that diminish Black voters' ability to elect candidates of their choice at all levels of government," unquote. The legislature, in a familiar refrain, claims the gerrymandering was done for partisan reasons, out of bounds for federal courts, not for racial discrimination reasons. The trial is expected to last through July 9th and a decision before fall. We've linked to local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Last night, I hope you were with us as we continued our coverage this summer of WASA Post 10 American Legion Softball. Our second broadcast last evening, it was a great night over at WASA East. In fact, the Post 10 and Post 492 from DC Everest, both the softball and the baseball teams are together. It was at WASA East, you got the ball diamonds right next to each other. had a doubleheader, had the junior league and the senior leagues, back-to-back games, free food, free hot dogs, free hamburgers, free beverages. A lot of folks came out. The rain held off, so it was a really nice night and a great night of softball and baseball where the D.C. Everest and the Wausau American Legion communities came together. In the game that we had here on 98.9 WXCO, it was D.C. Everest post 492 defeating post 10 by a score of 9-3. So Wausau now 1-2 on the season. We will have our next broadcast of Wausau post 10 softball next Wednesday when they host Tomahawk. Tomahawk will come to Sunnyvale and we'll have the coverage next Wednesday starting with the pregame show at 6:20 and the first pitch at 6:30. And if you missed last night's broadcast or any of our recent broadcast of play-by-play, you can get it as a podcast. Just search WXCO Sports on Spotify, Google, or Apple Podcasts. You can also get there by going to WXCO Sports through WXCO.fm and civicmedia.us. Click on shows and then scroll down and find WXCO Sports and click on that to get previous broadcasts as well. On the baseball side last night, it was Wausau post 10 shutting down D.C. Everest post 492 by a score of 3-0. Northwoods League, great comeback last night for the Wausau Woodchucks. They were down in Mequon taking on the Lakeshore Chinooks, trailed late but came back with 3 runs in the 9th inning to beat the Chinooks by a score of 6-5. So the Woodchucks remain one half game behind Madison in the standings. Madison defeated Wisconsin Rapids by a score of 3-1 last night. So the Woodchucks are now 14-8 on the season, while the Mallards are 14-7. So a good battle here in the first half of the season in the Great Lakes West. Meantime, it was not quite as successful last night for the Wausau Ignite Northwoods League softball team. The Ignite fell to La Crosse by a score of 19-6. So been a bit of a slow start for the Ignite in their first season, but still plenty of time to turn things around. The Ignite are 2-6 on the season. I was looking at the Northwoods League softball standings and got some interesting nicknames. You want to hear some of these names?
Yes, I do.
Because you got the Ignite, which is pretty straightforward, I think, actually. But you got the team that's in first place right now is from Madison. Team name is the Nightmares. Two words. The Madison Nightmares.
Oh, is that like the horse?
I don't know.
That's
a good question because it's
it
night
is a play on words.
Yeah, because it's actually because I think nightmare, the dreams are one word, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, nightmares, I believe, is a two words.
Yeah, and the nightmares.
You're talking about
here.
That, you're talking about the horses.
Yep. Oh, very interesting. I did not know that. Mankato's team is named the, and it's, I think, it's either Habaneros or Habaneros. It's with an H.
Habaneros, yeah.
So I have no idea what that means. Do you know what that is?
I believe that's a pepper, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Habanero peppers are something you put on your burgers to make them more spicy.
You learn something new every day. And then you got the Minot Honeybees. The Honeybees.
That's actually a cool name.
I've never heard one that. I like that. And I like them when they have an S on it. I'm not a big fan without an S.
Plural. But, is it just a single?
And then you have a single, La Crosse. La Crosse Steam. How can you be known as Steam?
Across
Steam.
I'm not sure about
that. I don't know either. So that's those are, and then, of course, the Ignite here in Wausau. So those are the teams in the Northwoods League. They have 5 teams right now in softball, and I'm sure they will expand those as the league continues to grow. So, again, if you have an opportunity, get out to Athletic Park, see both the Woodchucks and the Ignite during the course of the summer. And, again, so many great activities to take part in during the course of the summer months.
It'd be interesting to see if those teams have mascots and what they look like. I bet the Nightmares is probably a big horse and the Habaneros is just like a big pepper.
I think that would be fun to see. Actually, that's another reason to go on out and to be able to see some of the games going on. And of course, we talked earlier in the show to Julie Bowman about the big event tomorrow from 10 a.m. until noon, Dairy Month Exploration over at the Children's Imaginarium just across the way here in downtown. If you missed our discussion, again, you can catch it as a podcast coming up as well.
That's right.
But before we wrap things up this morning, we need to always finish up with our number for the day quiz with Ian Welsh.
Yes.
You are 2 for 3 this week, so you've already got a passing grade. And now we're going to try to clinch a winning week.
Yes.
And do you remember what our topic is?
Pokemon.
Pokemon!
I grew up on a Pokemon. Well, then, I remember the original.
Maybe you will know this then. Our okay. number for the day is a big number.
Okay.
The number of cards published in the Pokemon franchise since its debut.
Ooh.
All right. Here are your choices.
Okay.
Your choices are 25 billion, 45 billion, 65 billion.
Well, there is a lot of Pokemon cards out there. 25 million, 45
billion.
Sorry, a billion. Thank you. 25 billion, 45 billion, or 65 billion. You know what? I'm going to say, it's going on my gut here. I'm going to say 65 billion. I'm going with the biggest number I'd say is my final answer. I'm going to say 65 billion.
All right. Number of cards published in the Pokemon franchise since its debut is 65 billion.
Yes. Awesome.
3 out of 4 this week. You are a red hot right now.
Winning week.
Like we'll go for an A grade tomorrow.
Awesome.
All right. Well, have a great rest of your day.
You too, Chet. Happy Thursday, everybody.
We'll be back tomorrow morning. Part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM. W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Word just in from the Israeli army. Iran used a missile with multiple warheads in an attack in southern Israel today, posing a new challenge for its Iron Dome air defense system. CBS's Robert Berger.
There was major damage after a direct hit at the biggest hospital in southern Israel, and several high-rise apartment buildings near Tel Aviv were also damaged.
President Trump says he's still deciding on whether to join the Israeli side.
I don't want to get involved either, but I've been saying for 20 years, maybe longer, that Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. I've been saying it for a long time. And I think they were a few weeks away from having one.
Brutal heat is spreading out across the U.S. Temperatures are expected to soar in places like Sioux Falls, South Dakota, where Sandra Pignato's son plays soccer.
What the team did, they have a lot of breaks, more water, and make the periods of the game shorter.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.